Hey geeks, welcome to episode 92 of It's All Geek to Me Radio. I'm your host, Kate. We know we've been gone for a while, but we are so happy to be back. On this episode, we chat with actor Matt Daddario, who is currently on Shadowhunters on Freeform, which is formerly ABC Family. We had a ball. Matt was absolutely excited to be here with us, and we had a great time chatting with him. So sit back, relax, and enjoy the show.
And then she moved to Philly, and she was so swept up with Ben Franklin and the crew that she said, you know what, I feel very American now, and I like liberty and justice for all, and I'm going to be this hero. So basically, Philly made her such a figure of liberty in America.
Go ahead, I like that. It's cool.
I enjoy
that backstory a lot.
Good. Wonder Woman.
Are we recording?
Woman. We are, yes.
Excellent. Well,
apologies for the technical difficulties.
No problem. Wow, look at your mug. What's that mug?
Isn't that awesome? This is Maleficent.
Yes.
A friend of mine knows that I have a huge, lady crush on Maleficent. And
wasn't that your first word?
Well, no, it was not my first word. When I was 5 years old, I could very properly pronounce Maleficent because my mother was kind of a stickler for diction. So I was a huge Beauty and the Beast child. Sleeping Beauty.
Sleeping Beauty.
As well, but I was a huge fan of Sleeping Beauty, and it was the movie you put on to shut me up kind of thing.
Really?
Yes. So
does it still work?
No. Yeah,
I literally also know if that still works these days.
Jeez, you guys, we've been on here for 5 seconds and you're wanting to shut me up. Anyway, this was a limited edition mug that I was given for Christmas 2 years ago before we started the podcast by my Osnadian friend. And it has been my...
Your what friend?
Osnadian. It has been my podcast chalice Osnadian. Ever since.
You see, now this is getting me thinking.
Yes.
You could do a whole show where you get somebody who's slightly acquainted with this kind of these characters, and then but not really, and then ask them, what do you think their backstory is, and then you could educate the
masses,
the imbecile, on the other side of the screen who doesn't know.
See, until you said the word imbecile, I was going to say, are you offering to come back already?
Well, I think, I'm the imbecile in this scenario. I think that would be fun. I think you get, you get 10 characters, and you say, like in the case of Wonder Woman, I don't really know her backstory. I know about Wonder Woman. I know a lot about her, I guess. I know she's got a whip, right?
Lasso. She has a lasso of truth.
Lasso. Right. And I'm assuming she's a character very interested in justice. Mm-hmm.
She was in the Justice League.
Yes, she was.
Oh, there you go. You see, those are the kind of things I could draw. I could draw those connections. I could say, oh, wait, I think there's a Justice, maybe. Mm-hmm. Or maybe not.
That would be really rather interesting. I would like that.
Yeah.
Here's a character. Here's Peggy Carter. Because we don't know her backstory, do you? We know some of it now. We didn't before this season.
He's just going to quietly slink away after that one.
Sorry. Yeah. We only know.
Give me something like Batman.
Yeah, you give. Yeah, okay. You give me.
You mean bigger mainstream? So what is the origin of Captain America?
Robin. Like the lesser.
Which Robin?
Which Robin is the question?
I know this from Isaiah Mustafa, who's a big fan of comic books.
I just love that man more now.
He's obsessed. And,
really?
He knows everything. And he told me about some of the Robins because I was very confused about where Robin fits into the whole Batman story. And I know that mm-hmm. – was there ever a Robin who, like, killed Batman?
Yeah, well, there was – he's died multiple times. There was a Robin who came back and tried to kill him. That was the one that was killed by fan vote.
Fan vote killed him? I hope that wasn't
in the comic book. No, they in the comics they asked the fans, should he live or should he die? And they all said, he should die.
That's brutal. That's dark.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
To do such a thing, to kill a... Whoa, what happened to me?
Was that Jason Todd? I think that was Jason Todd. And then he comes back as Red Hood, who was voiced by Jensen Ackles in the recently, not so recent, but fairly recent DVD.
Kate is shaking her head. She doesn't know.
Look, that's her.
Kate and I have a very strong disagreement on Robin. The importance of Robin.
Not only that, she's read a lot more DC than I have.
Oh, that's
good. Well, no, see, I grew up on DC.
Uh-huh.
Because the Adventures of Batman and Robin and Batman the Animated Series really was my jam back in the day. I grew up on DC, and they used to alternate that with the cartoon, I always forget the name of it, but the Superman one, which was voiced by Tim Daly, who now does some sort of commercial for, like, dementia or something, or some disease that your parents might have, and it just ruins my childhood. I'm like, Superman should not be talking about this.
I'm here to talk to you about diabetes.
It's not diabetes, but it's something.
That's what I thought of.
Superman. Superman.
It might be like meningococcal something. All I know.
That would be the way to say that word. Sorry.
What?
I said meningococcal?
Sure. It might be.
We got our diction like expert.
I live with a nurse.
You do?
Like that.
And he does something with a doctor.
Oh, we should get them in here just to tell us horrible hospital stories. Well, and then we can relate that to various characters from these comics.
I used to live with an OBGYN. You don't want to hear her horror stories.
No. I guess in general, it's best not to ask doctors too many questions about their patients.
Well, they're not really supposed to reveal much. However, right. There is such a thing as a whine and bitch session where you just kind of have to get it out.
Yes.
Yeah, those are fun.
Yeah, we had those frequently when I lived there.
Those were... For all people working jobs, they should be able to whine and bitch, as you said.
I mean, those of us that work in the entertainment industry obviously know that
I do it once a week.
Yeah, the value of it is great.
Once a week.
Of your weekly griping.
Yes.
Yeah,
once a week.
Monday is my day to do that because Monday's my only day off. But I usually take it out on the thrift. I thrift and take it out on my wallet instead of. I do.
That's not true. You have me sometimes between the hours of 2 and 3.
You've got to save Kate some money. What you should do is you should schedule every Monday at 9:30. You guys meet, you set a stopwatch for 1 hour, and you drink and you complain.
Well, see, we do set our watch for every Monday at 9:30, but we don't complain. We get on here and we talk to people like you.
Oh, okay. So what we should do, though, I think we could involve some complaining. Like, there should be more... Do people like to listen to complaining?
Sometimes. Depends on what we're complaining about.
I guess if it's something people agree with or are passionate about.
Mm-hmm. Well, if it's a structured argument.
Right. Yeah. Who's the most out of shape superhero? I want to know that.
Bizarro.
Who's Bizarro? What is he?
He's not a superhero, though. No. Bizarro is the anti-Superman. Yeah, so where Superman is all like cut and pretty, he's all messed up and weird, and he doesn't talk in complete sentences. And I think his skin is blue or gray.
He's like a grayish tone.
Is he still powerful like Superman?
Yeah,
in a dopey way.
Could Superman get fat if he wanted to?
I don't know. That's a good question.
If Superman decided that he wanted to eat cake all the time, just ate cake all day. What if Superman doesn't eat? Does he need to eat?
Well, see, here's my problem with Superman. Superman is an alien, and everything about him is heightened, and therefore it's no fun. I like superheroes who get the crap beat out of them,
like Batman.
Mm-hmm.
See,
or to a lesser extent, the brothers of Supernatural are always getting their ass kicked in. And it's
brilliant.
The makeup on that show. Listen, the makeup on that show with just like them getting their faces wrecked.
Oh man, there should be, you see, that's what I would want to watch. I want to watch a character just get the hell beaten out of them. I want to lose like 90% of the time and just come through in the one time it really matters.
Well, I guess Supernatural comes through more often than they don't, but they do. I was just saying to the boy the other day, I love the fact that they're constantly getting the crap pounded out of them and their faces messed up, because it's like, good, you're not all powerful. You fail a lot.
Right. Failure's good, especially for, you know, in storytelling, it's nice to have somebody knocked down so they can get back up, right?
See, that's like, and we talk about this a lot, that we like characters who are not necessarily, quote, human, but that have that lose on occasion or that are wrong. It makes them a bit more human, which is why I think a lot of the characters that I lean towards have that in them. Like, I really like Iron Man. If I have to choose a DC character, it's Batman or Batgirl. Right. Peggy Carter, Captain America. Like, they're wrong occasionally. And they
I like the flawed characters. I love flawed characters. They're the most lovable.
They are. It's very true, and they're important to, I think, mainstream nowadays. Like, if you can put a very flawed female character on TV, like Jessica Jones, or even like the female character in Shadowhunters, the lead female character in Shadowhunters. If you can put a flawed human being on. Which is not really human, but you can put a flawed human being, even a flawed but if you can put a female figure like that as the central character of a show, it's very important, especially with what's going on politically and the feminist movement, everything in this country, it's important.
In fact, I think that it's, you know, people often have this sort of, I feel like there's sort of like a move. It's like, okay, what's our current motivation? What's our current sort of opinion on things? Let's create a female character who's super strong and always, you know, and fighting, and she wins out in the end. But I think that it's more realistic to have and more endearing to have a character who has to suffer and makes lots of errors, because that's really what human is. And then it's more relatable. Mm-hmm. I think that on Shadowhunters, for example, obviously I'm, you know, just going to something that I know very well, but it's...
I was going to say, you're a little biased?
Yeah. I think that all the characters are deeply flawed, and I think that's great.
Oh, yeah.
Definitely.
And that's like the best thing, because you get to yell at your TV a little bit and be like, oh, you idiot, or why don't you do this? What's wrong with you?
I have done that, watching an episode of that show.
Oh, yeah. No, as have I.
It's like, stop doing what you're doing and do something different. Well, too bad. It's on TV and you have no influence.
I have a question. Matt, did you read the books?
Of course, I had to.
But you did? Did you read all of them or just the first three?
Oh, first, I read the first three. First two, I got halfway through the third one during filmings, like, you know, and then I sort of breezed through. And then what happened was I realized, oh, man. This is getting into territory I don't know anything about and wasn't related to the show at all. And so I had to sort of just kind of tone it down. And now I've read basically, I've read the, you know, I read like the Bane Chronicles and what's the book? There was a book sitting in the makeup trailer, which is all
Clockwork
about,
Prince.
It's all about the various things of the
things.
No, of the shadow world. It has little notes written in by Alec and everybody. We used to we used to toss that around in the makeup trailer to get like, and then people would talk about it to get like, you know, more knowledge of that stuff. Esther read the whole damn series in like 2 months.
I knew I liked her.
She was an animal. She poured through them.
Oh, I got through the first three books super quick. I'm still on the fourth one, because the problem with me is I'll read stuff and then I put it down and forget where I put it.
Well, that's kind of what happened actually. On it was just because we became so busy. It was like, right. Oh, and then I got to halfway through the third one and I was kind of you know, then we're reading lots of scripts and working all the time. You're like, oh man, what the hell happened? But you know, there's always Wikipedia, and the fans talk so often.
Have you been on the Shadowhunters Wiki?
Oh yeah,
Shadowhunter Wiki.
It was a heavily referenced website constantly during filming. And in fact, you know, the writers, for example, are like little. There are like tomes of knowledge about it because I think they've obsessed endlessly over all that stuff.
Of course they have.
It's a lot of material.
There's a guy that works on Downton Abbey who it's over now. They've stopped filming, but they call him the Oracle, and he knows everything about the time period.
Right.
So I think every writer's room, especially like this, I think they have one on Outlander as well, which is based on a book series.
Right.
They should have someone who just thoroughly knows the novels. So, like, the writers have to.
No, yeah, you must. You have to. Yeah. Because you don't want to you can't make an error, you know. Like, if you're trying to be true to some source material, you can't make an error that's, you know, too egregious, or else, you know, it looks bad. And it's also embarrassing. Well,
it's hard to get new for the people who read the books.
I think it's a very complex issue, and you have to, you know, how do you create something new that's interesting to people and interesting to people who don't know the books? And at the same time, also, you can't just always copy source material. I mean, that's, except in certain cases.
Well, yeah.
I mean, like Lord of the Rings did copying quite well. And even then, they miss out on a lot. You have to cut things out.
Right.
I'm like super upset that Game of Thrones doesn't have Cold Hands in it. You know, like that's very upsetting to me. So
they did the same thing with The Walking Dead, and they've done it with Outlander too, where they've cut some things out that you just wish.
Oh, because The Walking Dead, I know. I remember reading. I saw a few things online about The Walking Dead comic, graphic novels rather.
Yeah.
And things were different, and people die, and things like that. So. I haven't
people
seen
die.
The most
there
recent
are certain
season.
People who are not it. Neither have I. I watched the premiere, and I think I kind of have let it go, unfortunately.
I haven't watched. Although
you
I was
were in
watching,
Madison Square Garden for the premiere.
I know that. I said I've watched the premiere, but after that, I let it go. I was in Madison Square Garden for the
but
premiere.
When you say
ripping my
watch the premiere.
Yeah. Well, and I was uncomfortable too because I was in costume and I was like pulling out my contacts and ripping my wig off. It was really, really great.
As you do.
AMC did a very strange thing the other day. I was watching Better Call Saul, which is just an amazing show.
I've heard.
And AMC played a Walking Dead promo that recapped things in the now, word for word. Like they said, this is what you've missed during this 1.5 minute promo. Like, so-and-so got killed. So-and-so got, I'm not going to say any of this stuff. And I was like, if I was saving this for later, I'd be pretty upset.
Oh.
Yeah, I thought it was
a little
odd.
I would almost prefer
maybe
that.
Maybe that's, you know,
because then I'd be caught up and I could just continue watching because I don't think I want to go back and rewatch the rest of the
season. I can tell you what happened.
I know what happened. I saw it on Instagram this morning.
I think it's a matter of choice. I got to be able to choose to see it. But if you subject me to it, I can't run out of the room with my fingers in my ears yelling, la, 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 la. Or I could, I guess.
I did that with every single Star Wars promo trailer, anything that was on TV aside from, like, the officially released trailers. I was sitting there with my ears plugged and, like, humming. My mom thought I was crazy. Because I didn't want to know anything. I just wanted to go in fresh. And it was worth it.
Yeah, just go in truly fresh. Knowing nothing.
Mm.
It's like showing somebody Star Wars now. You show a 4-year-old Star Wars. They have no idea. Not a 4-year-old.
Brilliant.
It'd be more like a 9-year-old.
Nope. I did with a 23-year-old who had never seen it and then took him to see the new one.
How is that really possible? Are there really people like in America
bad parenting?
That has never had access to, I mean, it's such a part of everything. Everybody knows
it's
the key line.
Culture.
Yeah. It's that would be very difficult. It's like asking somebody, like, hey, you know, I mean, what's a good example? You ever heard of Jesus Christ? You know, like, have you ever heard of...
Have you heard of the Savior?
Yeah. Remember World War II? Do you know anything about that?
You don't know who Obi-Wan Kenobi is, but you know who that guy is? No, yeah, it was rather fun, you know. Week. The three days leading up to us going to see The Force Awakens, we each day watched a different one. So we saw at least the original three, and then we went to see Force Awakens.
Oh, that's really fun.
Yeah, you don't need to see the other ones.
No, those don't have to exist. I'm sorry to everyone out there who likes them. I have a girl that I work with who is...
a very large crowd likes them. Honestly, when I was a kid, I was so young, I watched them, and I remember being like, oh, this is so cool. Look at all the lasers.
Even Liam Neeson could not redeem them.
I know
them.
It's an issue also. It's an issue beaten to death. But that Jar Jar Binks character really is a nightmare.
It should never have been invented.
Yes, like,
really strange. A strange thing. I know that's beaten to death, and that's not a topic to bring up, but it's just, it kind of blows
my mind. No, it's really... really kind of racist.
It's odd. It really odd.
It was a bad choice.
It wasn't the right choice.
And the thing that bothers my mind about those kinds of things is that choice wasn't just one person. Like, that went through multiple layers.
But, in any kind of management situation and a creative situation, if there's a certain person who wields an unreal amount of power, it can become just one person's choice because everybody else will say, yes, sir. You know, and
maybe
in that scenario, that was what happened, and nobody was there to say, hey, you know what, maybe this kind of strange aquatic long-eared dog creature with like some kind of weird accent, and
it's a lisp.
I don't know,
sure.
Is he a clown? Was he maybe it was all a trick.
A
I don't know, maybe it was all a dream. Like, do you think that Blade Runner 2, which I know is going to be filmed soon, do you think that Blade Runner 2 is going to have a comically absurd character thrown in there? Do you think that they're going to screw that up, or do you think that's going to work out?
I hope not. I think that's what we were all worried about, even with the new Star Wars movie, because, if you grew up like we did in the right way with correct parents who introduced us to A New Hope, Empire, and Jedi, and then they released these three movies that we all hate.
With good geek parenting.
Then we get these three movies that we all, most of us dislike, and me personally, I forget that they exist. And then they say they're making a new one, and you go, oh no. There was a bit of like trepidation going in.
As soon as J.J. Abrams said he was using actual, like, live puppet-type things, I was like, we good.
Yeah. Well, I know, as soon as J.J. signed on, I thought we good.
Hold on,
He worked out great.
Yeah. So I think he did a wonderful job. I'm very sad he's not doing the third Star Trek movie. What are you doing?
Please.
That's a door.
She just wandered out. So what happened was she wandered outside. That's a screen door. Did you not just get...
I have a vision of what Em is doing right now.
I've never seen her.
The door.
You can mute yourself, babe.
You've never seen what?
Is that a screen door?
That would have been smart. That was the screen door.
In my head, I didn't realize that you lived in a house with
a
screen door.
Oh, yes. House with, feet away from the next neighbor and yard and driveway.
Oh, so she lives like a king.
Not really.
She's like
I've been there.
No, it's not so much a king.
But she has an outside that she's allowed to.
There's an outside.
I have a yard.
A yard and a deck.
This is fascinating. What a she lives like some sort of a modern princess.
An urban princess.
Talking on the internet with a couple of, what are we? Cave dwellers, troglodytes.
Cave dweller? I live in a house with a yard and a porch.
You do too?
I do.
Yeah.
So two princesses are talking to cave dweller Matt.
I was a cave dweller once upon a time. I lived in Brooklyn for a while.
Oh, okay. So you know the life of the troglodyte.
Yes, I lived in the office.
You're more than welcome to come out to the boons. We've got woods. We've got a beach. We've got, beach.
It's a lake.
It's a lake.
You have a lake?
Yeah, down the block.
You have a personal lake?
It's
your
the block.
Lake?
Yeah, you can walk there from
It's around the block, and it's not personal.
I just wonder, to the people who are listening, does it occur to all of you that Eileen is living with on a lake in the woods. I mean, what is this? It's fantastic.
It sounds a lot more glamorous than it is. I promise.
I know. I'm kind of over glamorizing it. I know that we're all young.
Just like I have a yard and a house and a porch, and yet you're over glamorizing it because, like, right now I'm sitting in my sewing room.
Well, like I said, if you would like to come out to the land of the woods and the creepy condemned mind, feel free.
Oh yeah, the condemned mind.
Do you have like bugs, but like real bugs, like not cockroaches? Do you have like moths?
Yeah, we have actual. We don't have cockroaches. We have the other stuff.
That's
there,
it.
There used to be a ladybug infestation in my room.
That's when you know you've moved out of the city. Is when you get into the. What kind of bugs do you have? Oh yeah, I don't have.
I don't have cockroaches. Instead of rats. Yeah.
I don't have mice. I have field mice. It's when you start. When you arbitrarily start calling them field mice? I mean, is it?
I don't have mice.
Is it a?
Is it a? There are no mice. There are deer.
You have deer.
Mm-hmm. There are deer across the street. Yes.
Raccoons,
there
you go. Skunks.
She lives amongst the deer. She's like Snow White. She's running around. She has deer coming onto her house, eating out of her palm on her porch.
No, deer are
she
the devil.
She serves some
hate
fresh
them
apples from her garden.
And the birds are dressing her every morning.
Every morning they swim. They fly to. They don't swim. They fly. They fly to her to her windowsill, chirp her awake.
Oh my goodness.
Oh,
Eileen.
Somehow that would not end well for the bird. I'm not a morning person.
Was it
Cinderella who threw the pillow at the bird? Somebody did.
Okay, here's a question.
Yes.
Since I could, you know, on this note, mm-hmm. are there any superheroes who are, you know, kind of not morning people? Maybe slightly depressed, kind of not quite, you know, feeling really all at it, you know?
That is a good question.
I mean, Batman has psychological issues. I know that. And many superheroes have sort of sad backstories, but any of them really sort of dabble in depression? Do any of them go to...
Jessica Jones?
Yeah, Jessica Jones.
But I had to stop watching that show because that was brutal.
You
know what?
Intense.
I still haven't finished it because I can only watch an episode at a time, and it wasn't something... Most of the TV watching I do is on my lunch break. And if I can't, like, focus, then I can't really watch it.
Yeah.
The Jessica Jones character, really, that's, like... I started reading because they were dealing with some issues. I was reading. I was like, whoa, this is...
The PTSD of it and some of the themes are very, very heavy. It took me probably about 2 weeks to get through it all. But I watch a lot of kind of heavy TV. From the Marvel TV and all that.
I had issues with the fact that I've still found David Tennant really attractive in that role, and that just messed with my head, and I had to stop.
Oh, that's interesting.
Butthead? Oh, man, he is so good in that role. It gives me chills.
He's so good. And I was just like, no, this is not, no. Mm-mm.
Funny thing is, the people that I work with are now recommending Broadchurch to me, and I'm going, I saw it before you knew about it.
Yeah,
That's an important thing, right? Seeing it before everyone else?
Well, not necessarily, no. It's just
not like a necessity. It's just
that we knew
when people
knew
are like, oh, you should be watching this.
Yeah.
And you're like, yeah.
Wait, Broadchurch is the one that, Eileen, were we talking about this? Is this the one that's the kind of, oh, no, never mind. What is this? I'm looking at it.
Broadchurch was a British series, which they remade actually a year ago or so.
Mm-hmm.
The remake was set in, I want to say, Maine, and David Tennant reprised his role. And they also had, who else was in there? Virginia Call. Not that anyone knows who that name is but me, but she was in it, and she was the mother, and she was fabulous.
The
British version had David Tennant and Arthur Darvill, who was also on Doctor Who at some point. A lot of Doctor Who fans ended up watching it over here, and
it didn't do well over
about
here.
This. No.
The remake didn't do well.
Well, the American version didn't do that well, but it was basically, the problem was it was exactly the British version, just a couple things changed. And so if you had already watched the British version, which most of the people who are going to watch David Tennant in this version did, same thing.
Yeah.
The British series was watched on average by 10 million UK viewers. So yeah. Mike, that's very impressive.
It is on Netflix, should you want to view it.
I mean, I'll check it out. I like Tennant. And
he's wonderful. I think he's... Him as Kilgrave threw me for a couple of episodes until I got used to the idea, just because I know him from Broadchurch. I know him from the few episodes of Doctor Who that I have seen. So, and then I know him from, you know, Harry Potter. So to see him as this absolutely relentless, evil creature.
Monster, yeah.
Monster was just unbelievable. And I'm just seeing the cards that Marvel's putting on the table these days is really, really interesting. Daredevil, unfortunately, is one that I haven't finished. Em and I have the opposite going on, where she's not finished Jessica Jones and I'm not finished Daredevil.
I marathon Daredevil in a weekend.
Right, and most people done. I know
and
have.
And season 2 is starting soon.
Mm-hmm. I keep getting asked if I've seen the promo by the people I work with, because they all, like, the union stagehands and all the actors know that I'm a huge fan of right. Marvel and comics and all that stuff, because they see me come in with my comic books on Thursday. And they all are like, have you seen it? It looks so good. And I'm like, yeah, not into Daredevil. Sorry. And
you're not into Daredevil. No. I was trying to gather here. Okay, wait, who's, I see. So that's, I've heard this now. I've talked to people and some people seem to get through about 5 episodes and they stop.
I got to episode 8 before I realized that it wasn't, because we have a system where we give a series enough time to,
right,
actually,
as you
become
always,
a series.
Yeah.
And I got to episode 5 and I was still kind of interested. I still kind of cared. And then I went a couple more and I got to about episode 8 and I went, you know what? It's just, I don't think it's for me.
Not for you.
So
yeah.
It's how it is. Whereas I really dug Jessica Jones. So who knows? I'm looking forward to Luke Cage. That should be good.
Listen, it's nice when we have opposing opinions. It gives us something to talk about.
It is. A lot of the times we agree on things.
If everyone agreed all the time, well, there wouldn't be any superheroes and there wouldn't be any villains. Everybody would just be getting along. Mm-hmm. And Superman would work in a car dealership.
Yes.
You would still work for the newspaper?
No. Because that's not, you see, he goes to the newspaper because he gets to play the nerdy cover. And everyone is obviously blind and deaf and dumb because they can't mm-hmm. figure out the giant hot
because
man who's
the
walking
curl
around
and the glasses just hide yeah. the fact that you look at, well, like Superman at all.
Yeah. I mean, like, you guys don't know this, but I'm actually, in fact, Superman. I'm really
I mean, we've
I'm
never
really
seen
lazy.
You and Superman in the same room together, so it's possible.
That is true.
That's my strongest argument, right?
You've never
there.
Seen me and Wonder Woman in the same room together either, now have you?
You know what? Based on that, off that information, I now know that you are, in fact, Wonder Woman. How do you feel about that, Eileen?
I mean, that's why I dressed her so well.
Obviously, yeah. Because you knew from experience.
Yeah.
Eileen once told me that she would love to have a power where she can just sort of slightly, what was it, slightly alter people's...
Karma?
Karma. Yeah, the karma
it's my
thing.
Karma power.
Karma.
That's what it
best
was.
Best superpower
which
on
is
the planet.
Which is the best superpower on the planet. And it wouldn't be used for evil, per se, but if you're acting sort of like a jerk, then I could just, like, sort of, like, flick a finger and something would happen.
So it's only to people who have, like,
jerk,
negative...
You would just constantly step on Legos.
If they have negative karma points, too. You can create the events that would happen to them in the future.
Or even it could happen in real time. So, like, if someone, you know, if as like a little kid that you have a bully on the playground who pulls your hair, and all of a sudden, you know, the next day they wake up and that chunk of hair on their head is missing, karma.
Ah, that's good. Yeah. It's a very passive aggressive superhero.
I mean, I feel like I might be a better character.
I was just gonna say, have you met her?
That would be an interesting character. You'd play a. I could see, you know, this is basically Miss Passive Aggressive. And then what mm-hmm. happens to you in the end? Where do you fall? I guess you get negative karma, maybe.
Could be the anti-hero.
I'm still trying to figure that out in the.
I mean,
they
just made a movie about an anti-hero, Deadpool. So you could be the anti-hero.
Which is doing phenomenal. Did you see it?
Yeah, well.
I know you didn't, Kate.
Not yet.
No, we're going to try and see it this week. I've been just sort of waiting. I know it's killing the box office.
It is playing.
I like Ryan Reynolds. I think Ryan Reynolds is extremely entertaining.
That was my Valentine's Day.
You guys didn't watch Predators?
Deadpool was your Valentine's Day.
On Valentine's Day, we went to see Deadpool, and then we came home, we had dinner, we watched The X-Files, and then we watched the premiere of Walking Dead. It was the greatest Valentine's Day ever.
And you didn't watch Predator?
No, we don't usually watch Predator for Valentine's Day.
I thought it was Valentine's Day, or is that Christmas?
No, it's just in general we watch
it. Wait,
no, I should watch it on Valentine's Day.
Wait, you have, like, Predator is your Valentine's Day movie?
No, we don't watch it on Valentine's Day.
I misunderstood.
So the thing is, so back in the day, Predator is one of my favorite movies, by the way. But back in the day when I was in college, and actually I was out of college and I'd visit the boy while he was still in college, and he and his roommate loved Predator, so every night we would fall asleep with Predator on.
Oh, wait, that's
Eileen, every night you would fall
Yeah, fall well, when I Predator? Stayed with them on the weekends. They would do it on the weekends. And we would fall asleep to Predator.
I have a couple friends who are big Predator fans. I'm going to ask them if they, on the regular, fell asleep to Predator, and I'm pretty sure the answer is no.
It was either Predator or Super Troopers. Those were the two that we would
Super Troopers. That's a Predator is a little weird. It's like saying, you know, when I want to go to sleep at night, I'm having trouble sleeping, so I put on Alien, and that really helps me sleep.
Oh, yeah,
but the
really
Alien is creepier because there was someone really that tall and skinny. That's creepy to me.
Well, tall and skinny is creepy to you?
Well, the guy in the Aliens, there was a human in the Alien costume. That's
I know, yeah,
creepy.
The young man. I remember seeing a photo of him recently.
Yes, it's... That's creepy to me. Like, if I saw that man as a man, I would be slightly frightened because I am very short, as you know. No, you don't believe me because I'm always wearing heels when I see you, but I am very short. And so when someone is that tall, it's a little intimidating.
It's intimidating. That's true.
Yes.
Yeah.
Listen, I like small dogs because I like to know if I'm attacked, I serve a chance.
The small dogs?
Yeah.
I think that in all likelihood, you're not going to be attacked by a dog. Although today, you know, I saw a guy walking his pit bull without a leash. And I said, man, you know, that would be a good opportunity for Miss Karma to hop in there and basically punish that guy later on for having his dog off the leash in New York City. Not a good idea. An unwise choice.
But I don't know if that's necessarily... It's not a smart choice, but I don't necessarily think, like, that would be punishable. I think the punishable thing would be, like, if he was harming his dog.
Oh, I see. Okay, so it's not... It has to be, like, he had to be malicious. In some way, it has to be...
I mean, I suppose it could work in the other way. Like, if someone does something really good, I can, like something to reward them. But, like, it's more of a, like, malicious type thing. And, like, the karmatic response would be proportional to the deed. So it's not like if you, like, cut someone in line, you're going to drop dead. That's a bit much. But, like, you know.
I understand completely. I think that you've got to get started on this, getting this power. How do most people get their powers, guys? Like, I don't know. What are most people? Do you have to jump in, like, a vat of radioactive waste?
Depends on what universe you're in.
Okay, so what would be the simplest? Could eat like a bowl of Cheerios that have gone bad or something? Like,
I mean,
like drink some spoiled milk.
Falling in some sort of radioactive waste, or
that should work,
or having it spilled on you in Daredevil's case.
Okay,
or
Jessica Jones
with experimentation.
Yep, being experimented on is the quote normal way in Marvel Universe.
Is being experimented on. We talking a la, like...
Captain America.
Who?
Gamma radiation.
Captain
or the
America.
Super soldier serum.
Okay, so it sounds like to me, what I'm thinking is the radioactive waste thing is probably a waste of time and might kill you. But I'm thinking you gotta get in on the government's super soldier serum. In this case, karmatic serum. And I think you'll be all set.
Okay, I will start writing a letter to my congressman today.
Good. Good.
Oh, we just got a...
You should make sure that you include that on
I'll get right on that letter, sir.
So we just got a question off of Twitter that is, any ideas for episode 100 of the podcast?
Oh my God, yeah, I've got like a trillion
ideas. Oh, do you? Yeah.
What are your ideas?
Look, I know very little about your podcast, let's be honest. So like, I don't know a lot because I haven't had the opportunity to be, you know, to be a regular viewer, listener, rather. But for your 100th, how many episodes are you on now?
This is like 96, 95.
No way, 96, really?
Yeah.
Something like that.
Yeah.
So what you should do is you should get in all your guests you've had in the past. You should send out an invite. And you should one by one invite them on the show under the premise of them, you know, celebrating your 100th episode. And instead, you just immediately start berating them for their performance when they were on your show. So, I mean, you just go at them. You start yelling at them. Hey, listen, you weren't charismatic. You weren't talking enough. You don't know what you're talking about. We reviewed what you said. It was stupid. You're stupid. Bye. Out. Done. Next. The next person comes on and you say, you know, you say the same stuff. Or if you like them, yeah, you say you did a good job. You're fine. You can leave now.
I think we like all of them. They're our friends of ours.
Yeah, but you're not berating them for constructive criticism.
Yes, I know that well.
Yeah.
On a daily basis.
I mean, that's it's basically, or you have all of them on and they can do that to you, to you guys.
Okay. And they can tell us how bad we are at our jobs.
Right. So it would be like a roast?
Yes.
Yeah, like a roast.
Like a
giant roast. You say, hey, you make a, Eileen, you know what? You make a terrible Wonder Woman because X, Y, Z. I think you make a wonderful Wonder Woman.
Short.
I think you're the best Wonder Woman of all time.
Grow a little.
Yeah. Like, I don't think you could beat up anyone, Eileen. You're too sweet.
Oh, that's nice.
I'm glad you think
entirely
that.
Not true.
Not true.
I know. I could see you getting violent, dear.
Don't hurt of her friends.
Kate and I recently had a discussion. What?
I said, don't hurt one of your friends.
Oh, no. Kate and I recently had a discussion today where I said there was someone I just wanted to punch in the face, and then I realized they'd probably press charges.
Yeah. We were talking about that today, weren't we?
Yes, we were.
Oh, yeah, but violence is never the answer, Eileen. Haven't you learned anything from these superhero comics? They never use violence. There's no one ever hitting each other in those things.
I'm sorry.
Never.
I know. I'm just kidding.
Do you read any comics?
No, I didn't. I was never into comics. I don't know. I never had access to them, I guess. I was never exposed to them. I don't think I ever saw a comic book until I was like 18, and then I might have seen one and been like, oh, I don't know. I was never exposed. It was not a medium of entertainment I was exposed to.
It wasn't for me either until about 4 years ago.
Oh, really?
So I understand.
Yeah, same here.
Yeah.
I don't even know. If you wanted to get into comic books, how would you even get started? I don't even know.
Walk into a comic book store and look at the covers. If something's interesting, pick it up.
From the cover?
To be fair, we really lucked out, though. When I started going in, because it's all Joss Whedon's fault. He resurrected Serenity in comics, and
it
so
is
I went
his
to go
fault.
Get them.
Yeah.
And now I go to the comic book shop every week. But at that time, a couple years ago, Marvel did a whole reboot, and everything started on issue one again. Which actually they recently did. I think they're only like 2-3 weeks in, so a lot of the Marvel stuff is in its
new story
phase.
They're doing a whole Secret Wars thing now. But they did it and now they're back. Like the last book that I picked up that I was super excited about was that just hit my head anyway. I'm sure there were more than this, but was Thor, because they did a 6-issue run where Thor was a woman and you didn't know who she was for a while.
What?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. A woman picked up the mantle of Thor, and now they're doing a run of the Mighty Thor, which they've done runs of the Mighty Thor in the past, but the run of the Mighty Thor out right now is female Thor.
Wait, Thor can change based on who picks up the mantle of Thor?
She was worthy enough to pick up the hammer. And whoever can wield the hammer, Mjolnir...
Becomes Thor?
Becomes worthy of the name of Thor.
oh, worthy of the name of Thor. Mm-hmm. Interesting.
So she was worthy enough to pick up the hammer. And they, like, that was the opening scene of the comic, was her picking up the hammer. And on the hammer, the inscription says, he whoever is worthy. And it changes the he to she on the hammer.
Ah. That's fun.
Yeah.
Listen, that was a really smart move by Marvel. At the same time, they opened up a lot of diversity. They did the female Thor. They also had
Ms. Marvel.
Was it Black Captain America?
I think
is that was when he switched over to Falcon being Captain America.
That might be when
Iron Man.
I don't remember.
Yeah, that was. They did it at the same time.
I don't remember.
No, they switched. They switched Captain America. Falcon became Captain America. So they switched over to an African-American America, a female Thor. They also had Ms. Marvel running, who is a teenage
Muslim from New Jersey.
Teenage Muslim
Jersey from City.
New Jersey is now the what? Is Miss who?
She's called Ms. Marvel.
Ms. Marvel. I don't know Ms. Marvel.
She's got interesting superpowers.
She can stretch. She can fly. Mm-hmm. She can...
Okay, that's stretching power. That one's always bothered me. I'm not going to really get into it. Mr. Fantastic, that's the guy who can do that.
Mr. Fantastic.
Yeah, that's...
And then also cool. In The Incredibles, the mom, she can stretch.
Yeah.
You know, the stretching thing, it seems like it's not as useful as they make it out to be. It seems always very convenient that she can stretch or he can stretch. I don't know, it's not doing it for
me. I mean, Fantastic Four themselves kind of dated, but the thing that was so cool about them is when they came out, Fantastic Four was set in Manhattan, and Johnny Storm drove like a Corvette or a Ferrari or something. And the thing was, that was one of the first superhero teams to be set in the actual real world. Like, everything else had been like DC had Gotham and Metropolis, which aren't places. And like when Fantastic Four happened back in the day, it was actually set in New York City. There was things that like crossed with the real world, just like that's what Marvel ended up doing with a lot of their characters. So at the time it was really inventive and cool, but I feel like they just kind of don't really have a place anymore, especially that abomination of a movie that just came out.
I didn't see it.
Oh, it was so bad. I got it for free, and I wanted that time in my life back. I almost typed up a whole article saying M watches Fantastic Four, so you don't have to. But then that would have meant I'd have to rewatch it, and I couldn't bring myself to do that.
Well, I can't comment on that kind of a thing, but it's sad when movies like that don't work out, especially if they have such a huge following, and people are excited about them. And sometimes they just don't, you know, they don't hit, the things don't work out. So that's
right. Well, the sad thing was people give a lot of like shit to the original, like not original, but the ones that came out in like, what was that? The early 2000s.
Oh yeah. With Michael Chiklis and.
Yeah. 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 The thing about those were you have to like, now they're not so great, but if you look at them at the time, they weren't that bad. And
weren't they hugely popular? I thought those did extremely well.
They did pretty well, but, like, they're looked upon as being, like, awful movies. But at
but then
the time...
Always, you know, yeah, exactly. Over time...
At the they don't really translate over time, but at the time they were fine. And also, it's the type of movie that can be on an FX at, like, 2 o'clock on a Saturday afternoon, and I can have it running in the background and still be mildly entertained.
Well,
I was
wasn't
commuting
that also
watching
at the beginning
the
of this whole, like, sequence of comic book of superhero movies?
Yeah, it kind of well, way back in the day, it was like with the Tim Burton Batman movies. But then those got too weird because
those were strange.
Well, yeah, but the original Batmans were campy and weird too. So it kind of went in that vein, and it was kind of okay. But then when you had Joel Schumacher trying to do Tim Burton's version of Batman, it just didn't work. And there was the Bat Card and the Bat Skates, and things just got weird.
Oh, wait, Tim Burton one with Arnold?
No, I believe that's after Tim Burton. Tim Burton did the first few with, like, Michael Keaton Yeah, yeah. I'm not sure if he had Val Kilmer, too, but Joel Schumacher, like, took up the mantle, and that's when they got really weird. But, like, at the time, those were fine. Same thing with the first X-Men movie that came out. Like, people look at it now and like, oh, those movies are so awful. But at the time...
Hey, I love those movies.
Me, too.
I love X-Men, right. X2, I love those, too. I thought the third one confused me. There was the
like, that's
fine
the thing,
lady.
Like,
I think she confused. She scared me.
Well, lady, wasn't that Miles from Lost?
No, the girl who had like needles come out of her skin, like a pork.
Yeah, I think that was Miles from Lost.
Oh, no, it was a woman. Came out like,
there was a guy who did that too in the third one.
There were multiple porcupines.
I thought so.
I just feel like that's more of a curse than a, you know. I feel like that's not a lot of opportunity to utilize your pointy.
It's funny that you say that, because there was a character on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. this season that kind of, there's a mist that happens that changes them and turns them into, gives them the power that they're ultimately going to have. And that was what happened to her. She had these spines grow out of her, all over her body, out the back of her head and everything. And she would.
So it was more of a curse?
Yeah. And she would say that, you know, it would hurt internally, and she couldn't get comfortable and all of this stuff. So yeah, I would think of it as more of a curse as well. And she kept saying, this is not what it was supposed to be.
You see, are there other characters where that kind of thing happens, where they acknowledge their, I mean, in a not like, you know, oh my God, I have this power where I can control fire. It's such a curse. I'm so upset about it. Instead of something like that being like,
the melodramatic.
Oh my God, my power is that if I touch water, it boils. It's very big inconvenience.
Well, like Rogue. There's Rogue.
But no, not the movie version. The movie version is awful, and that's never to be discussed. But like the version in the comics, she steals people's powers when she touches them, so she can't touch anyone.
Right. Well, it kills them, right?
And if it were a human, she can suck your life energy away.
See, that's a tough one. That's a tough one. I think that's a
good thing.
But she can heal people too. There's so like a whole if she takes some of
series where
go ahead.
Oh, she There's can transfer.
There's a whole
transfer
series power? In the comics. Sort of. There's a whole thing in the comics though where they kinda touch upon it in the third movie, but not really, where they find like the fix for mutants, and she actually has a really hard time and is seriously considering going to like get her powers taken away because she can't deal.
I think that in her case it makes sense, because that kind of lack of social interaction or intimacy is definitely worthy of a of an escape, and then she could just run off somewhere and have her X-Men pals defend her.
But they're not gonna
spend, you know, one day a week each defending her. She can live in some sort of, you know, does she need protection? Is there anyone out to get?
Well, some of them were pissed off at her.
Why? Because
well, some of them got pissed off at her because she was altering who she was and saying what she was a bad thing. That there was something wrong with her. That their mutations were illnesses.
That's not what she's saying. She's saying in her case it is.
I know that, and
this seems like
that.
A simple argument. I don't like those X-Men who are against you changing because you're not happy the way you are. Well, I mean, ridiculous. Silly X-Men. You know, it's so absurd. What are they?
Silly X-Men.
What are they doing running around telling other X-Men how to live their lives? They don't know. Come on. They've all struggled being who they are. And that's the other thing is, like, some of them have such awesome powers. You think they would just be like, this is sweet. I don't really care. I don't really know.
I mean, some do. I don't think Gambit complained all that much. I mean, he had that whole weird thing with, like, the Creole, like, mafia.
Yeah.
But aside from, like, the mafia family thing, he didn't mind his powers too much. He could charge thing and make boom. I mean, let's be let's be honest. Gambit was one of the best.
I don't think Magneto
ever
complained about his powers.
He
used them for what he wanted to use them for.
But, like, that's the thing about Marvel villains, though, that make Marvel villains so awesome, is they have relatable backstories. Like, you kind of understand why Magneto would have a problem with people wanting to register mutants. You know,
well, in his case, I know his backstory because I really like Magneto and I like Ian McKellen. And Ian McKellen was playing, you know. So I know his backstory. I understand. I like that character. I think that character is very, has a lot of depth, and there's a lot of, you know, obviously a great backstory, and one that's also built in the real world. So that's
right.
Cool.
Yeah, he is definitely one of the, I mean, there are a lot of them that are pretty interesting, and And if you look into some of the characters and when they were created and why they were created, it's really interesting. Like, they put up this entire special on Captain America right before they premiered Agent Carter this season. And I knew a lot of it already, but and I was at work because I work nights. I work for a theater company. And my mother was texting me because she was watching it. And she was like, I didn't know that Captain America was created because of World War II. And I was like, yep, hang on to that for a while. That was like, you know, Stanley and Jack Kirby going, we need a hero. And then, you know, they very controversially put him on the cover of a comic book punching Adolf Hitler.
Punching Hitler?
Yeah.
Captain America punching Hitler in the face?
Yeah.
Captain America punching Hitler in the face. Oh, yeah, I put it up.
Wait, oh, okay. So wait, this is actually interesting, because if you talk about things from like a contemporary standpoint, so like how were they at the time, obviously a lot of these superheroes have been around for a long time, so they've had a chance to kind of evolve and whatever else. But is there a comic book hero that exists as of the past few years who's grown in popularity or has a significant kind of interesting quality to them?
Maybe like a brand new one?
I mean...
Yeah, like relatively new, like maybe past 10 years.
The newest one I could think of, which is a little more than past 10 years, would be, and she's not really a superhero per se, but Harley Quinn was supposed to be a one-off on Batman the Animated Series, and she became so popular that they wrote her into Batman canon. Not only that, but now she has three, I think, series running in comic books at the moment.
Oh, and definitely Suicide Squad. That's the...
That's four, yeah.
So what about her? What
she has her own comic. She has one with...
Go ahead.
She's Suicide Squad, her own comic. She had one with Power Girl for a while. And then I want to say she's got, like... She's the one who has, like, specials for every whatever reason. There was a scratch and sniff.
Yeah, I remember that.
Hello?
Hello.
Yeah, there we go.
Hey, I
feel like I've lost you.
I left it scratch and sniff comic.
Yeah, there was a scratch and sniff. Harley Quinn.
So it was a rub and smell comic.
The Harley Quinn scratch and sniff comic?
Well, it was called Rub and Smell.
Rub and Smell. It was only one issue. It was actually
rub and smell?
Yeah, there was like suntan this lotion, pizza. The right, pizza one smelled really good. Pot.
Eileen, what is this? This isn't real. Are you being serious?
No, she really has it.
Bring it in for you to see the next time I come in. Let me go find it. I own it. I
are there other superhero scratch and sniff or the
not
horribly
that we know of.
Titled Rub and Smell comics?
Not that we know of.
The only one I know of is the Harley Quinn Rub and Smell. Yeah, I'll see if I can dig it up and I'll bring it.
So this is starting to get, I'm trying to get now what Harley Quinn's popularity is, but I have to imagine that it's something weird going on there.
She's
guys.
Pretty popular. I think the run of She-Hulk that was out, even though it ended prematurely, was pretty popular.
It was okay. The best run of She-Hulk, though, was the one done by Dan Slott.
Dan Slott.
Dan Slott is my hero. And it was amazing. And by far, one of the greatest things was at PhillyCon last year. I got to talk to him, and he was talking about like the issues he wanted to do that he didn't get around to doing yet. One was like a superhero custody battle for children.
Yeah.
And then... I can't remember what the other one was, but they were great. He had these two like brilliant ideas. He's like, so what if these two superheroes are getting divorced and they're having a custody battle and She-Hulk has to be like a lawyer?
Yeah.
You know what this is? Eileen, this has gone full circle. Earlier when we were having sound troubles, Eileen and I were talking about Law and Order and things like this. And now I realize that the future of TV is no more, we don't need to have more new iterations of the same crime and whatever drama. Let's just put Hulk, you know, he's kind of retired, but he's gone into, he's a detective now, and he doesn't really ever Hulk out, is that the word?
Yeah.
Anymore.
He's just, that is the word, yes.
So, you know, people say, oh, you're the Hulk, and he goes, yeah, not anymore, let's solve this crime. 40 minutes of crime solving later, he's also dealing with his, you know, his ex-wife who has a kid. And, you know, Wonder Woman's retired. She's gained a little weight. And Superman's, you know, kind of an alcoholic now. You know, they're just dealing with their regular life issues.
I would watch it. You would be talking about the show Powers?
This exists already? Are you serious? No way.
There is a show. The reason I haven't watched it is I believe it's on PlayStation Network or something like that. It's actually based on a comic book. comic book series, and it has to do with, like, the special division of this police unit, which, you know, tracks down powers, which are people with special abilities, and, like, the crime that deals with them. And the one detective, I believe, is a former power. I think he has lost his powers at this point, and so now he helps solve crime. But that might not be the perfectly, like, astute rundown of it, because it's been a while since I checked out what was going on. But I believe, from my understanding, shows.
I see. Understood.
Feel free to correct me if
I'm wrong. I think that it's a good idea just to watch all these characters as complete ne'er-do-wells or something. I don't know.
Watching them live their life outside of some sort of international or national or town-wide crisis, you mean. So,
the superheroing.
And everybody just ignores them. Like, it would be hilarious to see, the Flash in small claims court dealing with a small issue. Some little issue where he got in the fender bender.
Into the fender bender, so he, hit the hood of someone's car and...
Yeah, exactly.
So now he's in small claims court.
And then he says, the judge is, I'm the Flash. I'm the Flash. And the judge says to him, listen, sir, you don't need to take that tone in this courtroom. We know you're the Flash, but this is an important matter. You have to pay the plaintiff $2,000.
And who's representing the Flash? She-Hulk.
And She-Hulk represents the Flash. He's like, hey, how are you, Mr. Flash? What's his real name?
Barry.
Barry, hi, how are you? I haven't seen you in a minute. And he says, this is ridiculous, right? I didn't. And she says, just, go home. And he goes back to his
Flash. Pay the fine.
Why, and then he starts robbing banks, and then it becomes
before they even get out of court, the Green Arrow shows up to testify in his defense.
Yes.
As a character witness.
I think we've just
written the perfect SNL sketch.
Oh my gosh, that would be so good.
Honestly, I would watch an entire series of people with powers. Like, in The Incredibles, when they're all living, that's basically the premise. In the beginning of The Incredibles, after they're all told they can't. Because of the lawsuits. That's actually exactly what I'm doing. I'm basically just stealing an idea that's been used in
The Incredibles.
Mm-hmm. All it would take is a good writer, a good director, somebody who's really cynical and really snarky, like maybe an ex-lawyer, maybe, somebody kind of, like, we need a guy who's like maybe 50-something and just miserable.
Okay.
Anyway, guys,
put out the wall.
The chat now. How long is this? Did we get a good show here?
Oh yeah, we've been chatting for a good long while.
Oh yeah, yeah.
There might be like 8 minutes of material in there that's interesting.
8 minutes.
8 minutes. Just we eight.
We've lost 8 minutes. Sorry, I had to make an extra.
And we talked. We talked about Shadowhunters a little. We talked about. Yes, we did. This geek stuff, and I feel this was a lot of fun. I would like to do this again someday.
We'd love to have you again.
To have you back.
Next time we'll all prepare more material so that I'm not so boring.
You'll prepare material?
We don't even prepare material.
No, we don't. Oh, yeah, we tried that for a while. It just didn't work.
It didn't?
No.
All right, next time I'm going to ask you questions.
Oh, I like that.
Good.
I like that a lot. I'm frightened by that, but I like
mildly,
it.
Oh, but I like the idea.
They're going to be something just for you guys. This was a lot of fun.
It was great to have you.
Well, thanks so much for coming on, sweetie.
Oh, thank you. Eileen, when am I going to see you again?
When are you coming in to see me?
I don't know. All right. It's late. It's bedtime. I love you guys. I'll see you, Eileen, soon. Lovely talking and meeting you, Kate.
Yes, you too.
You're the best. Have a good night. Night, night.
Night, darling.